missions to Mars, driverless cars, AI chatbots. Feels like we're already living in the future. Well, Robinhood is built for the future of trading. Robinhood's intuitive design makes trading seamless. Spot opportunities and take control of your trades with tools like screeners, simulated returns, and strategy builder. On Robinhood, traders have access to hundreds of popular stocks and ETFs 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. So you can keep up with today's fast-paced markets. You can now even trade stocks and crypto all in one place with the new desktop platform, Robinhood Legend. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC is a registered broker-dealer. Trading during extended hours involves additional risks. Cryptocurrency services are offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC, NMLS ID 1702840. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Trading shouldn't have barriers. When Robinhood started, it was built to make trading more accessible. Now, Robinhood offers more sophisticated trading tools. Experience the future of trading on Robinhood Legend, the all-new desktop platform that harnesses intuitive design to deliver a seamless experience for traders. Free to use with a Robinhood account. Robinhood Legend is designed for how you trade, with powerful charts including custom intervals down to the tick and over 80 indicators and drawing tools. Trade all of your favorite assets, including popular stocks and ETFs, all in one place. Take your trading to the next level by customizing your layout in seconds and even enter and exit positions in one tap, right from the chart, with up to 8 charts per layout. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood Legend. Sign up today. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer. Other fees may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. It's Hour 2 of Fantasy Sports Today. Did you miss our first hour of the show? Where you been? We're getting ready, of course, for these games coming up Saturday and Sunday. It's the divisional round. Davis and I have been with you for the last 21 weeks getting you ready for these moments here. Now, Davis, I don't know that anybody would have predicted a moment like we're going to have here. It is the biggest surprise, if you look back in August to now, the Houston Texans getting this far. I mean, you could make the case Tampa Bay, sure, but their division stunk. We kind of knew there was a chance. Green Bay, at the beginning of the year, you thought, oh, they may be good. Then, you know, maybe they were a bigger surprise once we got to October, and then they turned it around. But, Davis, the Houston Texans? What? Are you kidding me? Back in August? This is the worst team in the NFL 3 years running. They had Bill O'Brien as their head coach. But they take this quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He is great almost from the very beginning. And here they are on the doorstep of potentially playing for the AFC Championship. Unfortunately, boy, they get a draw in Baltimore that have played out of this world all season long. And by the way, Davis, from fantasy reality, a team that if they go down to the Ravens, I think it's over. Like, this is one of those teams that knows how to salt that clock and punch you in the face at the end of the game too. So that would be my concern for Houston.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you get down 10 points to the Baltimore Ravens, you might as well, you know, just like kick your feet up and just hang out, because you're not getting back through that one. You know, send your condolences to your loved ones. I mean, honestly, though, the Houston Texans, Craig, they are free rolling. They avoided taking Bryce Young very easily. I mean, look, if they don't win that game in week 18 last year, Davis Mills, you know, the heroic comeback effort, Lovie Smith, everyone thought, oh, Lovie Smith ruined the future of this franchise. They can't do this great trade, with the Panthers or whoever, you know, or they can't just take the quarterback. Like, who knows the alternative history there? Let's be honest. They probably would have taken Bryce Young. They have the number one pick. They probably take Bryce Young, right? I mean, that's just the way it goes, because he was the consensus number one overall. Yeah. I'm not going to say 100%. But probably pretty likely. Last year, the Houston Texans were 30th in the NFL in points scored. They were 31st in yards gained. They had the 27th worst defense. And cumulatively, they were 32 out of 32 in point differential. They were the worst team in football. not even that long ago, right? I mean, what, I guess 9 months ago, probably, they were the worst team we'd ever seen. They lost to this same Baltimore Ravens team week one. They get blown out by the Baltimore Ravens. CJ Stroud, you know, he went 28 for 44. He got sacked 5 times. Damian Pierce ran 11 times for 38 yards. Lamar basically didn't break a sweat in that game. J.K. Dobbins, you know, looked like he was going to be the best pick in fantasy football for about a half before he injured his Achilles. And now, you know, these teams are much different. You know, for as much as we say, and I think it's true, that the 49ers are the best team in the NFL, and it's actually the Baltimore Ravens that are number one in the NFL in DVOA, number one in the NFL in pass defense, number one in the NFL in rushing offense. I mean, it's all pretty incredible that the Ravens have been able to be that good. And still, Craig, do you sort of get this sense that no one believes in them? That everyone's like, ah, the 49ers, ah, the Chiefs, ah, the Bills. The Bills are going to win every game, and they're going to make it to the Super Bowl. Like, and I think, honestly, my personal feelings on this would be is that it's just like no one believes in Lamar at this level. Like, everyone's like, oh, Lamar, he's a great regular season quarterback. He's not going to win, you know, a playoff game. But, yeah, to me, the Ravens are the far superior team here. I think they cover this spread. And this, you're like, no shame in that if you are the Houston Texans, I don't think.
I think this is the only word I would take this week. I think this is the only one. Yeah, I just, it's not that I discount Houston playing with house money. This would be a huge leap for them to go from where they were to the AFC Championship, or even fighting with Baltimore at the end of this game to get to the AFC Championship. I personally don't see it. So of the two games that we're going to review, Davis, of the big spreads, I firmly believe one is going to be close. So I'll have to take the Packers. But I don't know. It's not that I dislike Houston, but this is Harbaugh, right? He's a good coach. And I would have some grave concerns, Davis, in this game in particular, by the way, if Baltimore was able to cover Nico Collins, what would CJ Stroud do, man? Like, what would he do? Dalton Schultz over the middle, like 15 times? And to me, Nico has been so big. I mean, maybe as big as any receiver, Davis, or any team in the NFL. They've gone through Tank Dell being hurt and Noah Brown being hurt. I mean, am I missing somebody? Do they have anyone else at wide receiver? So to me, that would be a concern. Now, if I see in the second quarter, Nico Collins has 4 catches for 40 yards and a touchdown, I'm going to feel like maybe I was wrong and Houston can stay in the game. But to me, he's the pivotal part of this because I just haven't seen Stroud consistently go to anybody as much as him since Tank Dell went down.
Yeah, I think you make a pretty great point, which is that Baltimore's offense fairly multifaceted. I think one of the things they're going to do in the playoffs is they're going to take Odell Beckham Jr. from like 50, 60% of the snaps to like 80 or 90% of the snaps. I actually think there's like pretty decent argument to be made that Odell Beckham's actually been the best wide receiver on the Ravens this year, but he's 31 years old. So you just, in a regular season context, there's no reason to play him for the entire game. And look, I mean, they have Isaiah Likely. They have Zay Flowers. They have the two running backs who really fit their specific roles very well. Even, you know, like Rashad Bateman is obviously a bust where he was picked, but he's fine. Right. Nelson Agholor, I think would, if he was on the Texans, would be playing ahead of John Mechie, Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson. I think Nelson Agholor probably would be the number three option, honestly, on the Houston Texans. Losing Tank Dell, pretty big deal. The Ravens have also had just a lot of success against number one wide receivers, you know, like that's been one of the things that they've really been able to do. I mean, we saw that, I think particularly against the Dolphins, right? Like Tyreek could not breathe against the Baltimore Ravens. Like that's kind of what they do. And Craig, in a weird way, you might have an opinion on this. I like Singletary has done a good job being consistent as a rusher, but they're going to need someone to break some plays, and that feels way more likely to be a Damian Pierce thing. So I do wonder if we get a little bit more of Damian Pierce this week. Probably not. Ultimately, no. I this Yeah, probably not. Ultimately, I think this probably is going to be the only game of the divisional round that ends up just kind of being boring because the Ravens are just dominant. They just
missions to Mars, driverless cars, AI chatbots. Feels like we're already living in the future. Well, Robinhood is built for the future of trading. Robinhood's intuitive design makes trading seamless. Spot opportunities and take control of your trades with tools like screeners, simulated returns, and strategy builder. On Robinhood, traders have access to hundreds of popular stocks and ETFs 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. So you can keep up with today's fast-paced markets. You can now even trade stocks and crypto all in one place with the new desktop platform, Robinhood Legend. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC is a registered broker-dealer. Trading during extended hours involves additional risks. Cryptocurrency services are offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto, LLC, NMLS ID 1702840. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
They get in front and they do not let you move once they are in front.
Oh, look what they did to Miami a few weeks ago. You know, arguably still one of the best statistically one of the best offensive teams in the NFL. They did nothing in the second half of that game against the Ravens. And the Ravens kept scoring. Remember, they took out Lamar. They put in Huntley. He's throwing to backup tight ends and stuff like that. So I'll see the next game in the same way as I do this game. So we'll preview that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, the second game Saturday is another game that the odds makers have told us has a chance to be a blowout. The question is, are we going to get two of those on a Saturday? That would be the worst case scenario for the NFL. And the NFL always wins, right? So I don't know. Maybe this is the one where it doesn't happen, Davis. The 49ers, 9.5-point favorites over the Green Bay Packers. The Packers have played phenomenal football to get themselves in the playoffs, shocking the Dallas Cowboys. I sort of discount anything against Dallas in the second half of that game, just because, as you mentioned, the coaching was so poor, and it seemed like the game was already over in the first half. In fact, that was the only game of the weekend where I tuned out in the fourth quarter. I know that Dallas scored some points at the end, but I didn't even watch. So I guess here's how I see this game. You'll tell me if you see. I could see both of the games going in similar fashion. I could even see Houston or Green Bay going up 7-0 or something like that. But the thing for me is at the end of a football game with a chance to cover the spread, say the scores in both games, Davis, like very similar to Buffalo-Pittsburgh, very similar. Give me the team that I think can just get me that point at the end of the game, that field goal, that touchdown. Green Bay, Davis, seems to be pretty unstoppable on offense. Now, that may not even win the game for them because their defense is so bad. But if it's like 31-19 at the end of the game and there's 4 minutes left and San Francisco punts it back to Green Bay, I'm confident that the Packers have a chance to cover. Houston, I just don't feel the same way about going into Baltimore like that. Why do I feel that way with this game with Green Bay and San Francisco?
I mean, you feel that way because Jordan Love has been just an absolute baller. I mean, there's just no other way to do it. He completely dices up Dallas's defense. The week before that, he completes 85% of his passes for 316 yards and 2 touchdowns. Craig, the last time that Jordan Love threw an interception was against the New York Giants on December 11th. The time before that he threw an interception, I'll just say this. Since November 13th, Jordan Love has thrown a interception, one interception since November 13th. He does not take sacks. He has been sacked 4.7% of the time. That is basically as good as Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, two of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the sport, at not taking sacks. The team does not fumble. The team, it's like every week, the Green Bay Packers have a new wide receiver you've never heard of who is wide open. Bo Melton. I mean, Craig, if Bo Melton was on the Kansas City Chiefs, Bo Melton would have had 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns on the Kansas City Chiefs this year. You know, Dontavian Wicks has been unbelievable. They don't even miss Christian Watson. They don't even need Christian Watson, but he is back completely, not even on the injury report this week. They have all their guys. Musgrave is back. Tucker Kraft is good to go. Aaron Jones is good to go. Hamstring not bothering him. AJ Dillon really is going to be the only core, quote unquote, guy on the team who is either not available or potentially not available. Now, all of that being said, right, I just said as many nice things as I could say about Jordan Love, second most passing touchdowns in the league. I think Green Bay clearly has their quarterback of the future, the guy they're going to be paying for the next 10, 15 years. All of that being said, I don't even know if they can get within touching distance of a 49ers team that has been rested for 3 weeks. They've had a chance for the offensive line to get healthy. McCaffrey is rested. Debo is rested. George Kittle had a heel problem that was bothering him at the end of the season. The 49ers, number one team in the NFL in yards per play on offense. Craig, on plays where Kittle, Ayuk, Debo, and McCaffrey are all on the field together, so they're four best teams, they average 7.3 yards per play. Not yards per pass, yards per play as an offense. And they get to do that against a Packers team that gave up 30 points to Bryce Young, that lost, that gave up 34 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that lost to Danny DeVito, right? Just a crappy defense. No way around it. Easily the worst defense of the remaining teams. One of the five worst defenses in the NFL. I think you're right about the back door being open essentially the entire game. But the 49ers could put up 40 here, I think, if they wanted to.
Yeah, no, I think so. It's just, I mean, you tell me, it feels to me, and again, I'm trying to look at both games, because historically speaking, it's hard to get blowouts like this in two back-to-back games. I mean, I just don't see it happening. But I don't think I ever, Davis, see Baltimore take their foot off the pedal in games. It feels like they're always crushing. The 49ers have had so many injuries, I could see that if they know the game is in hand, that they cannot lose, I could see them pulling back. I could see them pulling back at the end. And that, to me, leads me to think that there's a better shot for an upset here. The other thing that I would say, which is unequivocal. Now, again, I don't buy narratives in general. I think it's all a bunch of nonsense. But, Davis, when I drafted Aaron Jones in fantasy, I wouldn't have expected anything like I've seen the last 2 weeks. Maybe this is indeed true. Maybe the fact that this guy really didn't play all, not 2 weeks, season, and they brought him back to have a swan song here with Green Bay. I mean, Davis, he has been unstoppable for the Packers, and maybe it is true. Maybe he is so healthy and so strong that he gives them an advantage, again, to stay in a game against the 49ers. Without Aaron Jones, Davis, I would take the 49ers minus 17. But the fact that this guy has been running the ball so well, I don't know, man. Something tells me that the Packers aren't done. I don't think they're just going out soft.
I definitely don't think they're going to go out soft. Like, I don't think the 49ers, you know, get to roll up into this game, you know, and just be like, all right, well, we are the San Francisco 49ers, and we are, you know, it is our birthright to be here. We were obviously in the conference championship last year before Brock Purdy got injured. And you're right. I mean, Aaron Jones, since week 16, Craig, these are his stat lines: 21 rushes for 127 yards, 20 for 120, 22 for 111, 21 for 118, obviously with the three touchdowns last week. Honestly, though, I think that if this is a, you know, if this is a rushing game plan from the Packers, I just think that leaves them too far behind. You know, although they would definitely want to hold the ball as much as possible so the 49ers are not just, you know, Harlem Globetrottering up and down the field against this defense. But the 49ers run defense, I mean, it's been really strong this year. They allowed 10 rushing touchdowns all season. You know, they gave up less than 100 rushing yards against per game. In fact, they have the fewest rushing attempts allowed as a team against them, because they're ahead all the time, right? They're just, right. They're always ahead. So no one rushes against them. I don't, you know, I actually, if the Packers want to win this, I mean, obviously the Packers do want to win this game. If they put me in the room and they said, all right, you're going to be our outside consultant. How are we going to get there? The first thing I'd do is I would throw a bunch of screens in the first half. I would punish them for being aggressive. I would use Wicks, Watson, and Jaden Reed after the catch. That would kind of be the strategy. But ultimately, can you keep up with the 49ers offense? My vote would probably be no. It would not be, if the Packers lose this game by four, am I losing my socks? Absolutely not. Like, they're a good team. I just don't think they are as good.
All right, fair enough. Those are the two games on Saturday. What about the matchups on Sunday? We got the Buccaneers Lions to preview, and then the main course between Kansas City and Buffalo on Sunday Night Football. Davis and I will preview those games, tell you who we think the top performers are going to be. So stay with us here on Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today, and we'll be back with more previews of the NFL right after this quick timeout.
Missions to Mars, driverless cars, AI chatbots, feels like we're already living in the future. Well, Robinhood is built for the future of trading. Robinhood's intuitive design makes trading seamless. Spot opportunities and take control of your trades with tools like screeners, simulated returns, and strategy builder. On Robinhood, traders have access to hundreds of popular stocks and ETFs 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. So you can keep up with today's fast-paced markets. You can now even trade stocks and crypto all in one place with the new desktop platform, Robinhood Legend. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC is a registered broker-dealer. Trading during extended hours involves additional risks. Cryptocurrency services are offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC, NMLS ID 1702840. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
So stay with us here on the grid. Remember, smarter to be on Sports Grid. And we'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. After Saturday's games are complete, we'll have an idea as to what the NFC Championship is going to look like. But here's what we know. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers or Detroit Lions are going to be playing for the NFC Championship. Let that sink in from where we may have thought things would be at the beginning of the season. Now, Detroit, Davis, was a team that a lot of people picked to potentially, as a sleeper, represent the NFC. No one possibly could have had Tampa Bay. And quite frankly, no one would have predicted that the Eagles would have fallen apart like they did. I fully expected this to be a Philadelphia-Detroit game, but it's not. Buccaneers played very well down the stretch to win the division. They, you know, certainly are getting the best football of Baker Mayfield's career right now. He's been able to hit those receivers constantly. Rashad White helped them out a ton during the regular season. And on the flip side, Detroit, honestly, kind of lucky to be here. They almost let that game get away from them last week against the Rams. I watched the first half of that game between Detroit and LA. I picked Detroit, thought to myself, wow, this was really the right pick. Detroit is going to crush them. Then what happened? I don't know. Like, they just stopped. And the Rams, if they could just get in the end zone like once, would have beaten Detroit. So I kind of want to lean taking the Lions again. But I'm sort of a little scared because I just don't know what I was watching in the second half of that game last week.
Yeah, I am. I'm taking the Buccaneers. I'm taking the Buccaneers and the points here. Actually, I mean, I think I would be comfortable taking them on the money line as well. I think that the Buccaneers have a couple avenues to success here. The first being, Craig, you're right. I mean, Baker Mayfield, I think that the Cleveland Browns, if they truly, in their heart of hearts, got a redo, I think that they would take a redo. They let Baker Mayfield go when he was he played through a torn labrum, and he clearly, I mean, it was the worst season of his career. It was the only year of Baker's career when he was under 7.2 yards per attempt. He basically bounced back to look exactly what he looked like in the 2020-11 win season when the Browns hosted a playoff game. How about that? The Cleveland Browns moved on. They moved. They said, you know what? We hosted a playoff game, but you know what, Baker? Nah, we're gonna toss you back on the scrap heap. Baker has been awesome this season. 4,000 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He barely got sacked at all. One of the lowest sack rates of his career. In fact, the second lowest sack rate of his entire career. And weirdly, the Lions' rushing defense being so good, I think actually benefits the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because while Rashad White has been good for fantasy, Craig, he's not been that good for their real life team, right? Because it's a lot of 2 yard runs, a lot of goal line possessions where they're really trying to hammer the ball in there. And the two best players on the Buccaneers offense are Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. And the Lions passing defense being so bad, it's not going to work out that well for them. So since week 8, no team has given up more passing yards than the Detroit Lions. They are third in net passing yards allowed, so that adjusts for touchdowns, interceptions, and sacks. Like, this is basically the Commanders passing defense transported to the NFL playoffs. And the Buccaneers do not have a great defense. In fact, their defense is pretty mediocre, but they do have a pretty good pass rush. They do get after the quarterback. I mean, that has been, Craig, how long has Todd Bowles been around and how long is his defense? That's just kind of been the thing to get after the quarterback. So I'm taking the Buccaneers on the points.
Yeah, like I'm pretty undecided. I think both teams may have success here. I think the over to me may be in play. I know it's climbed from like 48 to 49, but I the Lions defense is hard to trust. You know, the thing that's really interesting, Davis, this even goes back with Tom Brady. The Bucs can't beat the Saints, right? But they can beat everybody else. Isn't that weird? Like, they just can't beat the Saints. I don't know, but Baker looks so bad against New Orleans, but he's looked basically pretty good against every other team in the NFL. It's just an odd dynamic. Just shows you how bad the Saints were. The only team that they could beat was Tampa Bay, but certainly Detroit will get their big home game on Sunday afternoon. Okay, so Sunday night, it is the Chiefs and the Bills. The two teams at the beginning of the season that were predicted to win the AFC, and as the season went on, we learned less and less about these two teams. Usually we say more and more. We learned less and less. The Chiefs, so unpredictable in winning games and losing games. You couldn't, heads or tails, if they could cover a big spread or even win the game outright. The Buffalo Bills looked like they weren't even going to make the playoffs. They change offensive coordinators. Okay. That works. Then they can't stop anybody on defense, and Easton Stick almost beats them. Like, Davis, I'm sorry. I'm hoping for a really competitive game here on Sunday night, but being in the prediction business, I talked about this on my show early this week on Newswire. I was threatening to kick people off the show if they told me they knew who was going to win this game, because I just have no idea, man. Which team is going to show up and take control here? I can actually build a narrative and a story for both teams winning and winning convincingly. And I could build it for the other side too, just because I've seen the inconsistencies of this team. But in the end, Josh Allen, as you said, Hall of Fame trajectory quarterback, one of the best in the NFL. Mahomes, maybe the best of all time. Maybe that's just what it comes down to. Maybe it is the guy who has the ball last at the end of the game. And if this was 2021 or 22, that's what I would predict. But every game in the NFL, Davis, goes under the total. They are all low scoring and not what we think they're going to be. So maybe this is the game that changes that, and it's an epic one. I don't know.
I mean, we could see an epic game here, but still one that goes under the total of 45. You know, just like the teams play it pretty tight. It's pretty close, like maybe a lot of field goals in the first half. One of the teams has like a crazy long drive, like the Bills get the ball back in the second half and they have like an 8 minute drive or something like that. Ultimately, you are definitely correct. I think anyone who really tries to call this, how could you possibly? Like, here are some results for the Buffalo Bills, who everyone has decided is just going to march through the AFC. The Buffalo Bills lost to the New England Patriots, not didn't cover, just outright lost to the New England Patriots. They lost outright to Zach Wilson and the New York Jets in a game where every Jets team, like everyone on the team, was just shell-shocked. The whole game is like, wait, we just spent the last 6 months thinking Aaron Rodgers was our quarterback, and now Zach Wilson is the quarterback again. They lost to the Denver Broncos. How about that? They lost to the Denver Broncos. And this is the weirdest one. They lost to the Bengals in a game where the Bengals could not run. It's just so bizarre this season the Bills have had. And then obviously they do make the offensive coordinator switch. Although the weird thing about the offensive coordinator switch is it has not made them look like the old Bills, you know, MVP Josh Allen Bills. What it's done is it's actually made the Bills a little bit more like the Chiefs. They run the ball a lot. They throw the ball close to the line of scrimmage. You know, Khalil Shakir and James Cook and Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. Like, Stephon Diggs has not had a 100-yard game since October 15th. I mean, if I would have told you that, you would have been like, all right, well, the Bills are not making the playoffs. Like, no chance are they favored in the divisional round if Stephon Diggs can't get it going. Gabe Davis is not going to be playing in this game. The concern I would have if I was rooting for the Bills, which I am not, I hope the Bills do nothing but punt the entire game and that I don't have to sweat and the Chiefs just get out of there with a win. My concern would be that without Gabe Davis to stretch the field, what is their plan passing the ball? Because we saw last week, I mean, the Chiefs might be the best team in the NFL at eliminating a number one wide receiver. I mean, Tyreek had the one play, Craig. He had the one play where, Tua threw that awful pass. Just, I can't believe they scored on that play. And, I mean, I'm sure you saw that viral clip of the play action play where L'Jarius Sneed knocked Tyreek down once. Tyreek gets back up and tries to run his route again, and then Sneed just knocks him down again. Like, that's why I think you're right. I think this game just goes under. And it's not like I'm saying, oh, the Chiefs are going to score a bazillion points against this Bills defense. I don't think that's true either. The Chiefs have three plans on offense. It's a screen pass to Rashi Rice, a slant route to Travis Kelce, or hoping that Patrick Mahomes is able to scramble for a first down on 3rd and 7 when those two options are not available. And if you shut those three things down, I don't really know what they do.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, Pacheco is another one that it looks like is a 2-yard run and then it's a 10, but he ain't busting out a 40. I mean, we know that's not happening. Clyde could potentially do that, but they don't play him anymore. And the Buffalo Bills, I mean, if they play anything like they've been playing all season, they're going to be near the goal line and Josh Allen's going to throw an interception and the game's still going to be nothing or like 3-0. It's the toughest game to call. Hopefully it's an exciting game. Hopefully we get a few exciting games coming up this weekend. So, Davis, in the end, who's playing for the AFC and the NFC championship?
I mean, look, I'm going to say Ravens. I'm going to say Ravens, Chiefs, and I'm actually going to say the Buccaneers win outright and play against the 49ers. I believe in my guy Baker. I certainly believe in the 49ers. I definitely believe that the only one I really don't feel comfortable making a call on is Bills Chiefs. It's just too hard.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, look, I don't think that San Francisco is going to lose, but the Packers would be my crazy shot in the dark after what they did to Dallas last week. I know a lot of it's self-inflicted and it's the Cowboys, but man, I cannot ignore a 40-point playoff performance on the road in the playoffs. I got to believe that the Packers can make that a game, but we'll see. All right, coming up next, it's time for some fantasy or reality, and the Sports Grid 60. We'll actually mix in a little baseball here. We'll talk about the Ravens and hit on the Philadelphia Eagles, talk about a disappointing finish to their season. So stay with us here on Sports Grid, as we'll be back after these messages.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Missions to Mars, driverless cars, AI chatbots. Feels like we're already living in the future. Well, Robinhood is built for the future of trading. Robinhood's intuitive design makes trading seamless. Spot opportunities and take control of your trades with tools like screeners, simulated returns, and strategy builder. On Robinhood, traders have access to hundreds of popular stocks and ETFs 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. So you can keep up with today's fast-paced markets. You can now even trade stocks and crypto all in one place with the new desktop platform, Robinhood Legend. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC is a registered broker-dealer. Trading during extended hours involves additional risks. Cryptocurrency services are offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC, NMLS ID 1702840. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
All right, Davis, before we get to some fantasy or reality, of course, in a few weeks here, we're going to have live coverage the week of the Super Bowl. Now, folks, if you're not familiar with our coverage at the Super Bowl, you got to tune in. Pharrell will be there coast to coast. Ben Stevens, all of our great hosts will be out there. And Davis, this one is in Las Vegas. So I don't know if you're going to be making the trip there. I'm assuming you're going to be comfortable watching it from your own home like me. But needless to say, the coverage will be fun to watch.
I mean, it's always a little bit, to me, Craig, and maybe, I bet you will feel sympathy with me on this. Super Bowl watching, Super Bowl viewing, it's a bit like New Year's Eve, right? You know you're leaving your house to do it, probably. You know it's like sort of a social event. It's not a social event you love all the time. Like, it's not like what some people do, like, oh, I'm going out on New Year's Eve and I got tickets to this bar and I'm going here and I'm going there. For me, it's always like, it's like December 28th and I'm like, crap, what are we doing for New Year's Eve? Like, what is happening? Super Bowl is a bit like that. Like, do I want to host? Do I want people to come over to my house? Like, not really. Do I want to go to my in-laws? Like, what are we going to a bar? Like, what's the plan there? I'll probably end up watching it at my in-laws' house. That is my guess. I hope it's a Chiefs Super Bowl. Although, Craig, as you probably could guess, I'm not that fun to watch a high leverage Chiefs playoff game with. It's mostly just just a lot of nervous energy. Just a lot of nervous energy watching a Chiefs playoff. My dogs, they leave when I'm watching a Chiefs game. They leave. They're like, we are not hanging out with you, dude. Like, this energy, we can't match it. We don't want it. We don't want any part of this. Like, they just will go somewhere else.
All right. Well, again, Las Vegas is the site of the Super Bowl. We'll have coverage coming in just a couple of weeks. All right, let's time now to ask some true or false questions in the form of fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, let's start off with the Detroit Lions. They host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I guess we'll allude to this game coming up this week. Certainly, we saw the two Jared Goffs play against the Rams. The first half of Goff was fantastic. The second half of Goff was not so good. Lions still won the game. Let's see if they could do it again this week. Fantasy reality, the Lions can win even if Jared Goff plays a bad game. Is this fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I mean, come on. This is fantasy. There's no way I don't think for them to survive like a really bad Jared Goff game. And you can basically just sort by Jared Goff's like quarterback rating in a given game and figure it out. He did win a couple games this year where he threw some interceptions against Chicago, but like his two worst games against Baltimore and Dallas, they got blown out. He did play a good game against Green Bay that they lost. He did play. He played a great game, honestly, against Seattle that they lost. But when Jared Goff plays poorly, the Detroit Lions lose games. And that's not even – I'm not even nagging Jared Goff. I'm not saying, oh, you can't do Jared Goff. It's like if Patrick Mahomes has a bad game, guess what? The Chiefs are getting ran out of that building, right? They are just getting – they are – now, could the Ravens win if Lamar plays bad? Yes. Could the 49ers win if Brock plays bad? Yeah, I think so. But when your talent level is a little bit closer, and you know the Lions roster and the Buccaneers roster, you know, they're pretty close talent wise. Like, you're just not going to survive your quarterback not having a good day at the office.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a chance that he could play bad and they could beat Tampa Bay. I mean, I don't know. I think that there's a chance of it. I'm going to lean on the side of fantasy. but I would tell you that it's probably a reality. So that's where I will go. But here is the question before we move on that I have to ask you, Davis. Let's assume the Lions beat the Buccaneers. Call it 28-26. Let's assume San Francisco beats Green Bay by the number 10. What would you make the Packers favored? I'm sorry, what would you make the 49ers favored over the Lions in the NFC Championship? Davis, I don't know that you could make it high enough, man. No one is going to back the Lions with Goff outside, right? Like in that game, what do you think the line's going to be if that happens?
6.5, I think. I think you just copy. I think you just copy and paste. You think it'd be like 8 or 9?
Oh yeah, I think it'd be maybe above 10.
Yeah. I mean, if it's 10.5, it's 10.5. I might take the Lions. I mean, it'll depend on how the 49ers look versus the Packers. Yeah, and it'll depend on how, like, if the Lions scrape by the Buccaneers with the last minute field goal, you know, and the 49ers, you know, completely blow the doors off the Packers. But like, yeah, you know what? You're probably right. It probably is. It's probably one of the bigger conference championship spreads we've seen in a while, because there's a huge gulf.
Yeah, and I think the issue is that Goff has this outdoor track record of just like major negative performances. And so, like, I don't know what the Lions would have to do this week to avoid being a 10-point dog on the road. I don't think they could do it. I don't think it would matter. But anyway, story we could do for next week. Okay, Baltimore Ravens this week get the Houston Texans, and then they'll get the winner, if they win, of the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Ravens have been in a lot of really optimal situations in the past, Davis. In fact, the Ravens got to the Super Bowl in a suboptimal situation against the New England Patriots. They beat them in the AFC Championship. They went on to win. They're in the catbird seat here. This has not always been their best spot. Fantasy or reality, the Baltimore Ravens, favored, will win the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, look, our producer Sam is really just wanting to stick the screws in me today. But yeah, look, the Baltimore Ravens are going to win the AFC. The Baltimore Ravens are, Craig, honestly, not only I think just the best team in the AFC, I think they're the best team overall. It depends on what sort of advanced metrics you look at, you know, EPA, DVOA, things like that. To me, the Ravens are superior to the 49ers. I think they have a better quarterback. I think the 49ers definitely have the better skill position players, but the Ravens have the better defense. And the Ravens do have explosive players on offense. You know, they've gotten long touchdowns out of Beckham and Flowers. I think it would maybe, and Mark Andrews coming back is going to be a big deal for them. The Ravens are an absolute wagon, man. They are such a good football team, 1 through 53. They have a great head coach. I mean, that gets a little bit understated when we get to these spots in the playoffs. The Rams lost the Lions, Craig, in a good part because their coach is too scared to coach a real game. And Dan Campbell is not, right? Dan Campbell is all for it all the time. The Ravens have that advantage. I think the Ravens are the best team. So I got reality.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go the other way here. I'm going to say, look, last year doing this, it was the number one seeds through and through. But my fear is that this happens. Well, first of all, the best scenario would be San Francisco playing Baltimore in the Super Bowl. That's what everybody wants. I get it. But the NFL year after year cannot have the number one seeds blowing out the other teams, or else they're going to change the rules again. Like, something's going to change. They can't have that. So, 2 years in a row, both number one seeds going. Nah, I don't see it. I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say that the winner, I think they'll win this week. The winner of KC Buffalo goes to Baltimore and wins next week in Baltimore. I'll probably change my mind next week. But that's what I'll say. Ravens have some situations in the past where they've been disappointing. And, you know, why not that happen again? Maybe next week too. Okay, boy, the Philadelphia Eagles season. Boy, you talk about a season that just completely fell apart. They, as of us doing the show, haven't made a decision about their coaches or anything like that in the future. Howie Roseman hasn't said anything yet. I'm sure that is coming soon. One of the notes that we got before last weekend was that A.J. Brown, I guess, was on, I don't know if this was true or not. You could tell me if it was on social media scrubbing all his stuff. What was that about? Didn't play true. In the game against, yeah, okay. Didn't play in the game against Tampa Bay, was hurt. I think, right? And A.J. Brown
probably in November, I said on this show was the best receiver in the NFL. Uncoverable, untouchable. Give me him, number one. And then what happened? I don't know. DeVonta Smith played better than him down the stretch. So all things being equal, I still think he is one of the best receivers in the NFL. But what happened to the Eagles? I don't know. Fantasy or reality, A.J. Brown, who probably was on the cusp of being a top five pick in fantasy before all this went down, don't know if he's still there now. Fantasy or reality, he's in the top five.
Yeah, no, I don't see it. I don't think that he's going to get there. I think in some order, you've got McCaffrey and Breece Hall. Those are going to be the running backs that you're thinking about. Because remember, I mean, Breece was amazing this year with a bunch of Jamokes at quarterback. They're going to have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback next. Well, far be it for me to predict the future of Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to assume that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Jets last year and then or next year. And then your wide receivers, fill in by numbers. You got Tyreek, Jefferson, CeeDee, and Chase, all of whom are going to go ahead of AJ Brown. Now, I obviously retain my ability. Like, you could tell me that AJ Brown ends up being next year's CeeDee Lamb, where you can get him at the 1-2 turn, and then it's week 9 of your fantasy football league, and you're like, wait, the guy who got AJ Brown also got, you know, St. Brown or Saquon Barkley or whoever. And those guys are the number one and two guys in fantasy. Like, AJ Brown, I think, is still awesome. The Eagles postmortem, like that whole season, the whole season just went
horrible
to the pit. You know, it's just like I'm not blaming AJ Brown. Like, the whole team just decided to stop caring in like week 13.
Yeah, and listen, I'm super biased with Howie, okay? So it's like, I don't know that I'm the one to talk to about this, but like, didn't this guy do exactly everything possible to put Philly in the right spot? Like, it's very rare at the end of the season, Davis, where you see the fans on social media championing the GM after a loss. I mean, everybody was like, oh, it's bad. Listen, Howie did what he's supposed to do. You never see that. I mean, getting AJ Brown, getting all those players, I don't know where Philly is headed, but Davis illustrated it. There's no world where A.J. Brown is a top five fantasy pick. Maybe in November of this past year he was, but Breece Hall's moved into the top five. All right, let's move to baseball. I wish we had more to talk about here with baseball. Trust me, I do. We just don't. We're going to do AL MVP voting. Juan Soto's taking his game to the Bronx from San Diego via Washington. Fantasy reality, Davis, Juan Soto will finish top five in AL MVP voting this year. I'm pretty confident when I say, Sam, you'll have to correct me, I think he's been in the top five. Has it been 4 years in a row or 3 years in a row? Something like that already.
This one is pretty interesting because he is, I think, not going to play for that great of a team. You know, it's like, well, I guess we'll see how healthy the Yankees are able to stay and what they do with pitching over the course of the offseason. You know, I'm a Yankees hater. I'm fine owning that. Like, I grew up rooting for a poor team that never spent any money and never won anything. I hate the New York Yankees. But, I mean, come on. Juan Soto with that swing in Yankee Stadium, he's gonna hit some bloop singles that turn into home runs in that stadium, in New Yankee Stadium. Yeah, reality.
Yeah, easy reality here. He was not in the top five last year. He was sick in what a lot of people thought was a terrible Juan Soto season. Go look at the numbers. He was incredible last year for San Diego, too. I'm with you on the Yankees. I don't think they're going anywhere, but he's one of the top five best players in the American League. And if I'm not mistaken, the MVP from the AL is in the NL now. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Before we leave, Davis and I generally give you 60 seconds of commentary. We'll continue that tradition as we get ready for the football games. Let's turn it over to Davis for today's Sports Grid 60.
All right. The thing that I'm curious about, and any listeners, viewers of the show, feel free to reach out to me. I'm wondering if my experience in rooting for my team in the playoffs is unique, or if this is how most people consume these things. But Craig, I'm wondering, are other people also mostly just nervous? It's mostly just a relief when the game is over, as opposed to really earnestly looking forward to a playoff game. I remember this with the Royals as well. So the Royals, the first year, 2014, it was all fun. Every game, amazing, can't wait, like, let's go. And then the 2015 playoffs and World Series, I was like, oh God, please, can we just win these games? I am sweating. It's miserable. My stomach is in knots. So I want to know, am I the weird one, or do other people mostly feel anxiety when their teams are in these really high leverage games and situations?
You get older, you care less. Believe me. Give it a little more time. Get yourself to 40, get yourself to 50. You'll be like, whoever covers, that's all I care about. Sports Illustrated on Friday fired everyone. My childhood of getting Sports Illustrated in the mail. Sports Illustrated on Friday sent a letter out to all their employees saying, you're all fired. Some of you right now, some of you in a few weeks. Like, that is crazy and sad. And a big part of growing up was waiting to get that magazine. And I know that they laid off a lot of people. We talked about this a year ago. But I think we've seen the end to the most iconic sports magazine and even online publication in history. So my thoughts are with all those people who lost their jobs, certainly. What a shame. All right, that'll do it for the show. Thanks to Preston. Thanks to Sam, our producer. And for Davis, I'm Craig. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We'll see you next week.